Writer Kate Christensen's probably best known for her fiction. She won a Penn Faulkner Award for her 2008 novel, The Great Man. But Christensen's newest book is nonfiction. It's a memoir called Blue Plate Special. As the title suggests, the book is about food, but it's also about, among other things, her parents' abusive relationship. Kate talked with the Record's David Hyde.
So your book starts with a breakfast that you remember from the age of 2 years old. You were with your parents living in Berkeley, California. What happened?
I was sitting as a two-year-old with my baby sister, and we had just had soft-boiled eggs with buttered toast broken into them, which is, to this day, my favorite breakfast. And my mother was young and had two children, a baby and a two-year-old, and my father got up to go to work, and my mother sort of looked up at him and said, "Please stay and help me. I just need some help." And he started beating her up. And this came out of nowhere to my two-year-old self, and I adored both my parents, and it was a terrifying and awful thing to witness. And I remember staring at the wreckage of the breakfast and thinking, you know, just in shock, while my sister cried and my mother cried and my father sort of banged out of the house. And that was a formative, unfortunately, there was no way for that not to influence the rest of my life. And it was not an isolated incident.
Soft-boiled eggs with little pieces of toast broken up into them seems like such a comforting memory in some ways, and such a contrast to this other really horrific memory. Why did you make this choice as a writer to start out actually talking about what you were eating?
Some people remember a lot of other things around incidents, but I tend to remember what I ate or cooked or what was served or what I ordered in a restaurant. And my memory is sort of linked to food on some profound level. And so this being my earliest memory, it made sense to start the book with this. And it also was the moment at which I think my relationship to my appetites became bifurcated and unintegrated in a way, that what I wanted and what I felt that I wanted and what I felt entitled to or safe asking for became two different things. Watching my mother need something and my father's reaction to that was very instructive. And it took me another 40-some years to resolve that and to integrate those two parts of myself.
Kate Christensen is a novelist. She's speaking to us from Iowa City, but she's actually based in Portland, Maine. Her latest book is Blue Plate Special, and it's a memoir. Why is food such a big part of your life?
It is an obsession of mine, I have to admit, and it's probably clear when you read the book. It's just such a source of intense pleasure for me and always has been, even though my relationship with food has been rocky and complicated, as are many women's relationships with food, and maybe men's too, for that matter. And during a time in my 20s when I was living in New York and struggling as a young writer to support myself and start a career, I used to wake up in the middle of the night anxious and turn to M.F.K. Fisher and Laurie Colwin and read stories about food, and I would find it so immensely comforting and nourishing in the deepest way. And it made me want to write a book like that because I felt that my relationship with food is so intense that as a subject, it's permeated my novels. And so this is just sort of breaking free of fiction and just talking about food flat out as a subject.
Kate Christensen is a novelist. Her latest book is a memoir called Blue Plate Special. So here's this moment, you're 2 years old, you're eating eggs, and your father's beating up your mother, and you write that you were unaffected and unscathed by any of it because your father didn't hit you. What's going on there?
That is the thing that I told myself all my life. I removed myself in that moment from what was happening, and I was a sort of analytical person from the very beginning and tended to watch things as a born writer, tended to observe and sort of absent myself as a way of protecting myself, I think, which lent itself very well to writing, but not so much to my personal life and my emotional health. And I think that self-protectively, I identified myself with the person in power and ran away in my mind from my mother, who was the victim of this burst of rage over and over. And I was afraid of my own sort of femininity and tried to be a guy, tried to be, you know, tough and invulnerable. My idea of what a guy was, which was like my father, who seemed those things.
And you actually say that this experience led you to deny that part of yourself that was female. Why? I mean, why were you doing that, and why did you continue to do that?
I think that I was afraid, and this incident scared the hell out of me. And somehow, and I know a lot of other people would react differently and have reacted differently to similar scenarios, and I'm not really sure why that was my course, my psychological sort of recourse. But it was the only one I had at my disposal, I felt. And so I told myself that didn't affect me. I was not traumatized. And that was my mother who was traumatized. And she was the victim, and she was hurt, but I wasn't. And then years later, as I was leaving my marriage, it all sort of came to a head in a series of panic attacks and just sort of, one so severe that the paramedics had to come, and I was seeing the incident again as if it were on a movie screen, and I was there. But this time I was really there. For the first time, the wall of memory broke, and my defenses broke, and I realized that I was there, and it did affect me, and that this had been haunting me for my entire life.
Novelist Kate Christensen's new memoir is Blue Plate Special. It seems like there's this central theme throughout the book, throughout your life, these feelings of self-hatred and you call it an unwillingness to be vulnerable. When did you start to realize that it's okay to be vulnerable, it's okay to be a woman, it's okay to be Kate Christensen?
I'm a really late bloomer. I mean, I think that I did my best to keep all that at bay until I had no choice. And it would happen to me. I would say, I mean, I had years of therapy, which was always a good thing and really helpful. But in terms of just embracing the fact that I am as human as anyone else, and by the way, writing this book was really freeing in terms of letting go of the past and seeing it for what it is and moving forward. But in my sort of mid to late 40s, I left my marriage and then fell in love again with someone who is my soulmate and the person that I hope that I'm with until one of us dies. And I think that love was what enabled me to I had felt lonely all my life, too, and apart from myself. And I think that, I mean, corny as it sounds, I think that true love was the thing that really saved me, and I was lucky to find it.
And you also say that, you know, you identified more with your father in a lot of ways, less with your mother. Did at some point you come to identify more with your mom and that part of yourself that's like your mother? And also, what was she like?
My mother was very strong and very wonderful and full of life and humor and survival. And she underwent a kind of, I would say, Dickensian childhood and came through it unscathed because of her sense of humor and her determination to enjoy life, which I inherited from her, and I feel really lucky. And she didn't see herself as a victim, and she encouraged us not to see her as a victim and not to see my father as a villain. She really resists any sort of black and white characterizations. She got a PhD in psychology and was a clinical therapist. She's recently retired. And so I think that her view of the world is very all-embracing and very sort of open. And identifying with her is a luxury, and I finally allow myself to do it. And I feel like now, you know, she's the part of myself that's really the best part of myself. And denying that did me no favors, I think.
Was she a good cook?
Well, I thought so. I mean, the title comes from the meals she would make, which were, you know, simple, sort of homey, nourishing, you know, meatloaf or fish or hot dogs, or, you know, with a vegetable and a starch. And we would gobble it down and ask for seconds, and she would say, oh, it's nothing but a blue plate special. And so for me, that has always been sort of the homiest, coziest food term in the English language.
Why did you pick that title for the book?
That was always going to be the title. It was just in the back of my mind. Every time I thought about writing this book, that was the title that just announced itself to me. That because food, I'm not a chef, and I'm not even really interested in gourmet food or trends or any of it. I eat food for pleasure now, and having resolved a lot of my dysfunctions, which involved either, you know, there's a whole gamut from asceticism to gluttony that I rode pretty strenuously for many decades. But ultimately, food is nourishing, and it's beautiful and pleasurable, and it's social and communal and heartwarming at its best. And I felt like that title sort of suggested all of that.
Novelist Kate Christensen, her latest book is a memoir. It's called Blue Plate Special. She spoke with KUOW's David Hyde.